Universität Hamburg.
Okay, so I have another hour talk, which you don't want to hear yet, on essentially, you know, what should we do over the next 5-10 years? So part of the answer is faster computer, but it's only part of the answer. There is sort of basic principles that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered. So for example, all of the successful applications I showed you are based on essentially supervised learning, you know, the old backprop. And we know for a fact that there's a lot of tasks for which, you know, there's just not enough labeled data. We know that humans and animals don't learn with supervised learning. It's mostly unsupervised. Some of it is reinforcement. So we haven't figured out really how to do unsupervised learning properly. There's a lot of research on this. There's a lot of people. I mean, all of deep learning basically is focused on unsupervised learning, really. You know, we call what I just showed deep learning, but really this is sort of, you know, the old style conventional, you know, neural nets. What really deep learning was about is kind of trying to leverage unsupervised learning. And so far, it's not been a big success. We don't have the... We have really good ideas, cute algorithms that produce really nice-looking filters, you know, decent performance. In fact, we have a pedestrian detector that works really well. I mean, it's not the record holder anymore, but it works really well, and it's pre-trained using unsupervised learning technical sparse autoencoders into a convolutional net. And you know, we think that's the future. If you want to handle things like natural language, dialogue systems, video, we're going to have to figure out how to do unsupervised learning properly. And so there's a lot of work on this, which I, you know, don't have time to talk about. This is more kind of a historical perspective. The other thing that a lot of people are working on is something I only alluded to today, which is the kind of the sort of combination of deep learning and structure prediction. So there's a lot of situations like, say, language translation or speech recognition where you know, deep learning is only part of the answer. So a deep learning system, a neural net, you know, you show an input and it produces a single output. But what if there are multiple possible outputs, like in translation? There's multiple ways to translate a sentence from French to English, for example. So there, the principle you want to use is something like a graphical model, something where that does not produce a single output, but sort of tells you whether an input and an output kind of match each other, and then you have a search algorithm that figures out the output that best matches the input. Okay, that's an inference algorithm for a graphical model, essentially. So how do you merge graphical models with deep learning is another question. Conceptually, we know exactly how to do this. In fact, we use system of this type to build check reading systems back in the 90s. So we know exactly how to do it. It's just practical, you know, computational. You know, there's all kinds of things to actually get it to work. Right. So we actually worked on this. So I mentioned FPGAs. This is the FPGA system that we built. So it's actually an architecture called NuFlow. Right here. This was done in my lab starting in the mid-2000s. And we built this NuFlow architecture, implemented on FPGA, showed we could reach on kind of previous generation FPGA about 160 billion operations per second in about 10 watts on the small FPGA boards. And so this made possible to kind of build small embedded systems that would run convolutional nets of the type I showed in real time. Okay. Now, since then, the student in my lab who was working on this kind of graduated and stopped working on this. And the project has been picked up by Eugenio Colicello at Purdue. And he's done... I'm not going to say too much about the NuFlow architecture, but it's a data flow architecture. You can actually try yourself if you want, if you have a Vertex 6 dev board. And what Eugenio and his group did is that they actually designed an ASIC out of it. Unfortunately, it was never properly fabricated. The fabrication was actually botched. So we can't really test it. Since then, he started a small company that sort of sells small boards with FPGAs running conventional nets. And the performance of those things is pretty amazing. But you know what? Over the last year or so, there's been so much attention around convolutional net that all the major hardware manufacturers are all working towards providing convolutional net accelerations for their hardware. So NVIDIA just produced with help from us in Berkeley and various other people, they produced a library that essentially implements convolutional nets on their GPUs. Many of us have our own custom code, but it's good for them to have put this out. And Intel is working on similar things, and all of them are developing specialized hardware for this. So very soon you'll have embedded, chipsets that can run convolutional nets at ridiculous speed in very low power, and you'll have, smart cameras that can basically do, scene labeling of the type I just showed within a few years. This is going to come, yeah. You'll have, robots running around that can actually do vision and recognize you and recognize everything in the room and your pet. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, I have to use the content of this little bag, which is a little bell. And thank you very much for a very exciting talk.
Thank you for inviting me.